Certainly good to be in the house of God, and we greet each one of you in Christ's name. I'm happy today to be used by God for the message. Certainly appreciated what was shared so far in this house. Certainly is encouraging. And we need to look for that last great day, as Philip reminded us, of when he will come. Maybe at morn or noon or evening, at night, we don't know. So it certainly is so important to be ready at all times, because we never know. But he knows, and that's good. Okay, before the message, I'd like to again stand for the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You may be seated. In the last verse there, I always have a little bit of a problem with saying shall. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the correct one is I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, you did read the title for the message today, which is The Lord is My Shepherd. I thought of preaching on The Lord is My Shepherd and go through these verses, and I'm not sure, I didn't get very far in the 23rd Psalm in studying this, so I may preach a series of messages on this, but I'm not sure, just however the Lord leads. But for today I chose The Lord is My Shepherd. Take the first part here, the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've heard someone say that this is the most dangerous psalm in the Bible, or maybe the most dangerous passage of scripture in the Bible. And that, on first hand, it doesn't make sense, because millions of people have already gotten encouragement from this psalm, The Lord is my shepherd. And in fact, I know this psalm almost better than the Psalms 1, which we had been reciting for some time, because we're taught it at a young age. So we tend to, you know, we know it so well, we can recite it and we can say it. So the danger is of kind of skipping over the parts of this psalm and never really digging deep into it. You know, when something becomes repetitive, there's a lot of, we say this. When you said just a little bit ago, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie. You know, going through this, what all are we really saying? If we really look, you know, a lot deeper into this. And this psalm is known by Christians and non-Christians alike. When you talk about the 23rd Psalm, even non-Christians, they've heard the 23rd Psalm. And most every motel you go to, there's a Bible in there. In the drawer, there's a Bible. And a lot of people, millions of people, have gotten solace from this psalm. I'm not sure that I agree that it's the most dangerous psalm in the Bible, but I can see how there's so much of it that is overlooked because it's so familiar. It can be so familiar. And it seems to me that from the Lord is my shepherd to the last verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you really look and follow at this, it seems to be a match for simply life, human life, the way life is. If you look at the beginning of life, at conception, right at conception and thereafter, and you apply, the Lord is my shepherd. Did he not, in all his wisdom, make a place for a little baby to develop? And you apply that, the Lord is my shepherd. He made a safe place, which because of sin and wickedness, that place has been violated so horribly and often in our world today. But that's not what God intended. The Lord is my shepherd. From the moment of conception to being born into the world, and he put it into a mother's heart that she has an intense desire to protect and to supply all the needs of the little infant. It's something that God put there. It's something that our shepherd put there, because he is the good shepherd, and he protects and he keeps and he loves. And that is how little babies come into the world, and then they grow up to be children and on up into adolescence and then on into adults. And as we come to the age of accountability and we accept the Lord is my shepherd, we can dwell safely. And it says, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. There's one other thing that we want to realize here, and I don't know if you have just thought about it in exactly this way, but this whole psalm is written from the viewpoint of a sheep. It is written from the perspective of a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, that puts us to being sheep, because he is our shepherd. And because this is true, should we not study sheep a little bit? If the Lord is our shepherd, who are we? Who are we? Who are you? There's three things that I like to bring out about a sheep. Three things. Number one is sheep are dumb. Another word would be stupid. And I don't know if anybody here has sheep except James or not. I don't know. But sheep are basically stupid. And you know, the world over, there are a lot of circuses that go on. And they have elephants and they have tigers and they have bears. And they have all kinds of animals that are trained to do things. And they can do marvelous things. They can do tricks of all kinds and do numerous things. Elephants can stand on something small and hold a ball on the tip of their trunk. And they do things to entertain crowds. And even tigers, there's so many things they do with animals. But have you ever heard of a trained sheep? A sheep that is trained to do tricks and different things like that. In Isaiah 53, it's something we read quite often. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. How stupid is that? And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. It says there that a sheep before the shearers is dumb. And if you grab that sheep and you hold it down, it just relaxes. You put it on its back and it's, the legs might be, you know, going like this or whatever, but they just lay there like they're helpless. They're too dumb to get up or too dumb to keep on fighting. But it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. We are followers. When it talks here about our own way, it talks about just following the inclination of the flesh. That's what a sheep wants to do. It just follows its inclination. If it loses its leader, it just runs. And they just scatter. The Bible talks about sheep just scattering. And all we have gone our own way, but sheep are followers. They don't do good leading. They are followers. And talk about asking yourself some questions. Have you ever wondered, why did I say that? You know, you speak up and you say something like to a group of people or maybe at home, and you ask the question, why did I say that? I should not have said that. Why did I say that? And you think, I'll never say that again. And the first thing you know, you say it again. To do the very thing you said you don't want to do again. How dumb is that? Making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And if you look at mankind as a whole with all the things that are in the world, I mean, talk about just making the same mistakes over and over and over again and just seeming to not learning. It goes with that. Or maybe you've done something. You say, I'll never do that again. But the first thing you know, you've done it again. Like the Apostle Paul when he says, I don't do the things I want to do. And what I want to do, I don't do. In a sense, how dumb is that? We are like sheep, folks. God knows us very good. We say, I'll never do that again, but then we do. We just do the very things we don't want to do. And I can see by your faces that you can relate to that. Why? Maybe because you're as dumb as I am. And it seems like that sheep, even though they can go through some hard things, they just go through it again and again. I remember when I was a boy at Stuart Stratford, Virginia, and my granddad had sheep, and Paul and Earl and Norman, my Uncle Norman, they would look after those sheep, and there were times that I went along. But one time when I wasn't there, Norman was there with one of his brothers, and Norman was wanting to feed the sheep. And see, he filled two buckets of feed, and he was walking out there to the trough, but unknown to him, there was a ram behind the corner that he did not see. And when Norman went out the barn and he turned his back and he was going toward the feed trough, this ram was stupid enough that it charged Norman from behind, and Norman almost like never knew what hit him. That ram hit him right square in the backside, and the buckets of feed went flying out either way, and Norman landed on his back right in the manure. Well, just that quick, Norman reacted like anybody would. He fell on top of a manure-covered tubifore. And just so that quickly, he was up on his feet and he was scraping the manure off this tubifore, getting it ready, because what was the ram doing? It had gone back and it was backing up, getting ready for the next charge. And when the ram came, Norman was ready. And he took this 2x4 and he slammed it right across the, just above the eyes of that ram. And my Uncle Paul says he can still hear that crack when that 2x4 broke right in two, but it threw the ram sideways a little bit, and it fell down and it was knocked out, or at least almost knocked out. And then it got to its feet and blood was coming out of its nose and so on. And what did the ram do? He backed up again for the next charge. You see, stupid. I mean, you can get totally knocked out, and when you come to, you just want to do it again. And there are people in our world today who are the same way. They can get knocked down by sin, and they'll just do it again, again and again, because they're following the nature. Following the nature. And that's what we tend to do so often as sheep. And we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Will we accept him as our shepherd? There is another thing about sheep, and that is that they are dirty. Sheep are dirty. They have this big, thick wool, you know, that comes onto them. And in Bible times, there were times when there wasn't a lot of rain, and things became dusty, roads became dusty, and there was lots of dust, and there were things settled into that wool. And you know how cats and dogs and cows and all those animals are, they lick themselves. You can see a cat, you know, licking himself, you know, and he licks down here, and he's licking around, and God put it in there for them to clean themselves. But have you ever seen sheep lick their wool? How would that feel? Get a mouthful of wool. Hair, you know, you could do something a little bit with. But wool, that's kind of, you just don't see, sheep don't lick themselves. They don't clean themselves. They got all this wool, and in there is mites and all kinds of stuff. And what I wanted to bring out from Serge Straff, I remember they had a sheep bath up there. And they would put the sheep in a certain pen at the end of this concrete trough. And they would fill that thing with water and put stuff in there that was very distasteful. At least it smelled that way to me. But they would force the sheep to go through that bath. And it was like something like 20 or 30 feet long. And the sheep, they had no choice but to swim or drown. So they swam through there. And that stuff penetrated into the wool. And it would get rid of whatever was in the wool, like the mites and different blood suckers or whatever it was. It would get rid of that. And I remember them running that through there to try to take care of their sheep. And isn't that an example of what the good shepherd does to us sometimes? Runs us through a bath that would like clean us if we just allow it to. So sheep, basically, the only way to really get a good clean sheep is to shear all that wool, cut it all off, down to almost the skin. Then you would have a clean sheep. But then here the wool grows again, and soon it becomes dirty. And I've seen some of the wool that James shears off of his sheep, and doesn't look very clean to me. Now, I know they can clean it. They have equipment to clean it and do all that. So even back to being dirty, you know, sheep, they have this wool, and they can't get rid of this wool. They just carry this stuff with them. And isn't that so often the way we are? We tend to get dirty from the things of the world, and we carry those things with us. We just tend to carry those things with us. And in this mind, in this brain, here some time ago, there was something that I had not thought of for 40 years. I didn't think about it for 40 years. But all of a sudden, something happened that I remembered. Something from 40 years ago that I don't remember I'd ever thought about. But so that was stored in my brain. But isn't it like in our childhood or in our youth, when there are things that we saw that we wish we'd never saw, and it sticks in the brain, it sticks there, and hard to get rid of. Isn't that us? Sometimes we carry the dirt along, along and along, and it just stays there. It's what happens when we have grudges, or when we have ill will, or when someone has done something against us, and we just can't let go. We just carry that thing with us, and it bothers us, and we just allow it to fester. We just don't get rid of it. Let the good shepherd give you a good shearing to get rid of those things. He can do it if you're willing. It's because he is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Have we really accepted him as our shepherd? It says, the Bible says, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to our own way. All we, like sheep. Doesn't say some of us. It says we are all like sheep that have gone astray. And see, the Bible tells us also in another place that confess your sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from almost all unrighteousness. You know that's not right. You know that's not right. It says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So that means that all the sins that I have committed until now, and all the sins that I'm going to commit in the future, and all the sins that I have done when I did not even think about it. Do you know that we have faults that sometimes we do and we don't really think about it? How many of you read your Bible as much as you should? How many of you sometimes get convicted of of doing things that you shouldn't? But what about being convicted of things that you wish you would have done and you didn't do? I have that sometimes where I regret the times when our children were little and I did not teach them things. And at the time, I did not realize that I should put such emphasis on teaching them. But the Bible says that he forgives that. And he cleanses me from all that unrighteousness. And in Romans it says that there is now no condemnation to them who walk in Christ Jesus. But you know, it's very interesting that it doesn't stop there. It says who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's why the folks who say that once saved, always saved, and now I can actually go and live however I want to, they have it all so wrong, because they are living by the flesh. They're not being led by the Spirit. And therefore, it brings you to the fact that you are not cleansed from sin because you have not changed your ways. See, somebody who now has no more condemnation, has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in his blood, your shepherd, to cover your sins. He will then go on and now live after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, how does the flesh tell you to live? You know how the flesh tells you to live. It's the opposite of self-denial. It's the opposite of just doing whatever this flesh wants. Or did I say that right? Self-denial is when you say no to the flesh. That's self-denial. And Jesus said, you cannot follow after him without it. He that wants to be my follower, is he your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. So that is saying, in a sense, that I'm denying everything that I want to do and I'm following you, Jesus. So did you think of that when you said, the Lord is my shepherd? See, there's so much studying that we need to do that goes very deep. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, that is saying a lot. In fact, it was difficult for me when I studied on this message to just get off the first sentence, the Lord is my shepherd. It involves so much. It's just a huge world. So he even forgives the things that you know, that you don't know, that you committed. The faults, the shortcomings, all those things, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But when that happens, you become a changed creature. And you now say, the Lord is my shepherd. I will no longer be my own shepherd. Because, see, we're all followers. Every one of us is followers. You're following something. If it's not the good shepherd, it's the wolf. Or it could be your own inclination and desires, which is a part of the devil's kingdom. So when you say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's like I've got everything I need. I don't have to do all the things that the world says that you need to do to make yourself look prettier, to feel good about yourself. You know, you really need to be able to feel good about yourself. I don't know a better way to feel good about yourself than just simply saying and doing and really knowing that the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. And we talked about sheep, you know, being dumb. The dumbest decision you'll ever make is to not accept him as your shepherd. That's the dumbest thing. And the fact that millions are doing that. Millions are doing just that. They will not accept the Lord as their shepherd. They will take their own way. And even Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on that way. But then he says, narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. And he says, there are few that find it. Isn't that scary? In a sense. It should bring a soberness to us, and it should bring us to us the importance of having Jesus as our shepherd. It really should. In John, I was reading in John a little bit, John 10, and it talks about the shepherd there, that Jesus is the door. It talks about the wolf and the hireling, and it talks about a sheep that realizes that the Lord is its shepherd, and its tastes and its wants are totally changed. See, the world that does not accept the Lord as their shepherd always has wants. They always are wanting something they can't have, always working for more things. We are followers. We have a shepherd. And what is that shepherd? It could be money. It could be fame. It could be just having more land and just wanting to have more preeminence and more say-so in things and trying to exert ourselves. Are we following that? Is that our shepherd? It will never satisfy. It's only when we have the Lord is my shepherd that we shall not want. We realize then that we have everything that we need. Sure, we need to, you know, plan ahead. I'm not saying we shouldn't do canning and a lot of things like that. Yeah, we are concerned for our children. And we need to. God gives us wisdom in knowing what to do. But what is wrong with sometimes just saying no to the flesh, even if it is something that you can have? What is wrong with that? You know, you've heard of fasting. There's nobody against fasting for a certain reason. that I'm aware of. But what is really fasting? What fasting really is denying your body something that it would not be wrong for your body to have. You know, it's not wrong for your body to have food, but you deny yourself that. Why? Because it brings a closer walk with God, and it brings discipline into your life. And discipline is a good thing. And I'd like for the youth here today to hear something. And that is that the Lord will bless you if there are things that you could partake of, there are things that you could do, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with it, but you say, I will not, because I want to teach myself discipline. I want to teach myself that when I deny myself a certain thing, that it trains me, it does something for me. And see, even little children, I remember when I was a little boy, I would not admit that I was tired. There were times that I just did not admit that I was tired, because my mom would ask me, are you tired? No, I'm not tired. You know why I was not tired? It was because I didn't want to go to bed. I didn't want to nap. That's how little children are. They don't want to take naps. They want to go out and play. But my mom knew better. It's something that moms especially know when children need naps. Because see, when you don't take a nap, you become cranky. And then mom's hands become full. And, you know, they have these children to... How would it be if you have children and they just would not want to take naps, and so the parents would just let them go? And you know, from young, you know how it can work. Some of you have had little ones. You know how it works. The baby does not want to go for a nap. And so you take him somewhere and you put him in a crib. And you lay him down, put your hand firm down on him, and I said, now go to sleep. And then you leave, you go out the door. But then you stand outside the door and you listen. And pretty soon you hear something rattling. And you hear some noises going on. And then you open up the door and hear little Johnny is standing there with his hand on the rail. And he's shaking it and he's jumping up and down. No, he doesn't want to take a nap. He rebels from that. But that's when it's in order to do a little training. And Dad goes back in and he lays little Johnny down firmly in the crib. And he puts a big hand on his back. Little Johnny squirms around. No, he doesn't want to sleep. But that firm hand stays right there and holds him tight right there to where he can't move. And you know what happens? A lot of times, within about 60 seconds, his lights go out. And he's fast asleep. Parents know what children need. And that's where training comes in. That is where training comes in. Sheep do not like to be restrained. They run. But when they are restrained like that, they give up. And children do that too. When you have a firm hand. There's times in church services, or there's times in other places when there are gatherings and children are unruly, and you got to get the bag with all the goodies out and try to keep them satisfied. Oh, if we can just make it through the service, if we can just make it through this meeting, you know. More Cheerios, just don't do it. And I remember my mom when we were at home, yet she would sit on a rocking chair before church services for 30 minutes and hold one of the children for 30 minutes, and she had a fly swatter in one hand, and we knew we'd better hold still. And she said it helped. When we came to the church services, the children were relaxed and they weren't moving around. They didn't need all this food and things. I didn't come to give you a child training message, but you know, when you look at self-denial, you look at the Lord is my shepherd, what really satisfies people it doesn't satisfy them to just give them more their own way and give them more what this body wants. Calmness and serenity comes from when you are deprived of certain things your body wants and you can't have it. That's where training comes in. And it's wonderful how children... No, children are not that different from each other. They all basically respond about the same way. And I know when you're a young parent and you have this child and he is unruly and, you know, you have decisions to make. And I realize, I believe everybody in here does the best they know. But there are times when we can just look around a little bit and we see children that are all in a nice row and they're behaving nicely. That's hard work. And it usually happens in the home. It doesn't happen in the church. Don't train your children in church. Train them at home. My mom would have had some wise counsel about that. Train them at home. Another one that I was wanting to touch on, the last one, is sheep are defenseless. Lots of other animals, they have defenses. You know, you have a cat and it'll scratch and, you know, a dog will bite, you know, and a skunk will put off an awful smell. And even the little bitty ladybugs, we were having such a problem in our house with ladybugs. It seemed like they were everywhere and they just kept on. I finally discovered there were some in the back bedroom, there was a window that was cracked. And that's all it takes for these ladybugs to come in. And if you just go up and you just touch that ladybug, it'll put off the awfulest smell. You just wonder, such a little bug, what an awful smell. It's a defense. It's a defense mechanism that God gave it. Don't touch me. I just don't get along too good with ladybugs, especially when they're flying around and then they land on places where you just don't want them to land. So, sheep are defenseless, and that is why we need the Lord as our shepherd, because he is our shield. He is our defense. You remember the songs that we sing. And it is up to the man of the house to stand up for his wife and be a protector. And a protector to the children. Can you imagine in the middle of the night? Henry, it's 2:00 in the night. And you hear a noise in the house. Oh, it just sounds like someone is in this house. And he will say, Fanny, I'm scared. Go check it out. You can't be a leader in the home acting like that. A man has to stand up for his family. He has to stand up for his wife. He needs to be a protector. It's the way God has designed it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And there are songs that we sing, you know, concerning my sheep know my voice. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? If you know the voice of the shepherd, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. If you don't know his voice, he's not your shepherd. If you don't know his voice, he is not your shepherd. Let's kneel to pray.